Luke chapter 21 today. Luke chapter number 21. There's absolutely no way that I will finish this message this morning. I'm learning a little bit about myself. I've shown my wife at times things the Lord's dealt with my heart about. And she said, "When you going to preach that?" And I said, "In the morning." She said, "Really?" She knows better. Amen. So this will be at least two parts. Stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, if you will. I'm just going to read a couple of verses where the Lord really spoke to my heart. The Bible said in verse number 14 of Luke chapter 21, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer." And then in verse number 26, the Bible said, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." You can be seated. I want to ask you to pray with us and pray for us, please. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. God, we're missing all kinds of people this morning. I know some are sick, some are away, but God, we're here, and we have met to worship. And God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, it's a comfort to my heart to know that before you ever spoke the world into existence, you knew who would be here this morning, and you knew what we needed. And God, I pray that that need would be met through the living Word of God today. Help us, our Father. Help that one that doesn't know you, our Lord. God, will give you glory. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. I'm reminded of something that I heard Brother Don say last week, and I'll just repeat it. I've heard it many times and said it many times in the ministry. All the Scripture is not written to us, but it all is all written for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm well aware that in Luke chapter 21, we're talking about end time events and that the Scripture is really being written to the Jew. You understand, when the Bible makes statements like, "He that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved," God is not talking about the church enduring. He's talking about the Jew in the tribulation enduring to the end. And as a matter of fact, the Bible said, "Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days would be shortened." So here in Luke chapter 21, the way the message was birthed in my heart, I was simply reading the Bible last week, and I noticed twice in this chapter the word heart was mentioned. In light of the current events, I want you to think this morning about the people in Afghanistan and other places of the world that are behind enemy lines, that are wondering this morning if they'll ever see the soil of the United States of America again. I'm not going to get into all of it, beloved, but if ever there's a time we ought to be praying, it's the day and hour that we live in. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. God's not calling on the sinner. He's calling on the saints to get a hold of God. Turn from their wicked ways. He said, "Then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land." America needs a healing. In light of these events, God spoke to my heart about two hearts that are pictured here in Luke chapter number 21. In verse number 14, and this is where we will dwell, God willing, in the service tonight. We will dwell on a faithful heart that is settled in verse number 14. But in verse number 26, I want to dwell this morning on a fearful heart that is shaken. Beloved, I want you to know that there no doubt are behind enemy lines right now. There's somebody that loves the Lord. There's somebody that understands if America can't make a way, there is a God in heaven that can make a way for him to get out. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said, just a couple of things about the fear and the fearful in the Word of God. The Bible said, and the officers, this is Deuteronomy 28, shall speak further unto the people. They shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brother's heart faint as well as his heart. Here's what I want to say to you in the onset of the message, beloved. We're living in the last of the last days. And the fearful will breed fearfulness among others. But faith, beloved, listen, and the faithful will breed faith among others. You better be careful in these last days who you hang out with. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's a crowd that can drag you down. But thank God there's a crowd that can lift you up. There's a crowd that can help you to stand fast. Robert Louis Stevenson said, keep your fears to yourself and share your courage with others. Amen. Isaiah said, so to them that are of a fearful heart, say to them, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. I've watched the news this week. I've watched much of the news. I'm interested in what's going on. But listen to me, beloved. I've heard many make a plea to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, if you can hear me. Joe Biden, if you can hear me. I can promise you this. There may never be a time when Joe Biden can hear me. But there'll never be a time that Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, cannot hear me. The Bible said in Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I'm telling you, we're living in dangerous days, beloved. We don't need to be looking to the White House for solutions. And we don't need to be looking to Congress for solutions. I'm telling you, our trust is not to be in man, but our trust is to be in the God that made man and breathed into him the nostrils, the breath of life. And he became a living soul. And because of that, he will live on somewhere forever. Amen. The Bible said, why are you fearful? Jesus said to his disciples, oh, you have little faith. You see, that fearfulness and that faithfulness cannot coexist. One or the other is going to have to go. Amen. Think about that for just a little while. Hebrews 10 said, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignations which shall devour the adversaries. Listen, the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. In Revelation 21:8, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm just telling you, beloved, this world's full of people in these last days that are full of fear, and they're fearful. The Word of God said men's hearts are failing them for fear. In my mind, just now that the image went back to people clinging to the side of an airplane. Oh my goodness, youngins, if we could get people to the cross and cling to the cross. Our beloved, listen, they wouldn't have to fall some 300 or 400 or 500 feet to their death if we could just get people to see a God in heaven that loves them and can take the fear away. Oh, beloved friend. Researchers at Johns Hopkins Hospital University, they reported 30 years ago. Now listen to me. That would have been 1960 because this was written in 1990. Listen to what the researchers said. The greatest fears of grade school children were animals. That's in 1960. Being in a dark room, high places, strangers, and loud noises. Today's kids are afraid of the following: divorce, nuclear war, cancer, pollution, being mugged. That survey was taken in 1990. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a lot in this world to fill our hearts with fear. That God wants us to get in His Word and fill our hearts with faith. God does not want us looking, beloved, listen, unto a man or a bunch of men, or a bunch of men and women. God wants us looking up.
The Word of God tells us here in just a little while, our redemption is drawing nigh. I believe with all of my heart this morning, there's some things here that causes a man's heart to be fearful in these last days. I want to share them with you this morning. First of all, I want to use the word unwilling. We're talking about people here. Jesus is talking, he starts over in chapter number 20, down towards the end of the chapter in verse number 46. He said, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the higher seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms of the feasts, which devour widows' houses, and show make a long prayer, for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive the greater damnation." I'm talking about a people, Jesus said, "Beloved, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together?" Oh, beloved, listen, they were unwilling. They were unwilling. He said, "How oft would I have gathered you together as a brood, not their chicks?" But he said, "And you would not." They were unwilling. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, people that are unwilling to come to Jesus will never know the joy, beloved, listen, of having a heart that's full of faith in these last days. There must be a willingness, beloved, listen, to acknowledge you for who you are, and to acknowledge Him for who He is. You say, "Preacher, what were they unwilling to do?" Number one, they were unwilling to believe. The Word of God said, listen, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, these scribes and these Pharisees and these Jews, listen, even in the end times, beloved, listen, until those blinders come off, they're not going to believe. But thank God when they do, then they'll understand, beloved, how foolish they were for being unwilling all those generations to believe. The Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul didn't hem-haw around. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That message has never changed. That message will never change. Beloved, that's not just a mental assent to the facts that He died and He was buried and He rose again, but that is a total dependency upon Him. That's understanding and realizing that you're the sinner, that you're condemned. And beloved, listen, He's the Savior, and He wants to forgive you of your sin. They were unwilling to believe. They were unwilling to bow. The Bible said He'll draw nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. They wouldn't believe and they wouldn't bow. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's coming a day they'll bow. You mark her down, beloved, and they won't be bowing to Allah. They'll be bowing to the God of heaven. Jesus, beloved, listen, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Christ. He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They were unwilling to believe. They were unwilling to bow. But then listen to this. They were unwilling to break from their vain traditions. Oh, beloved, listen, God spoke to my heart last night when I was studying. Even in our churches today, there's people, beloved, sitting in a church where there's a woman in the pulpit because they won't break from their vain traditions. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" Well, that's where Mama went. That's where Papa went. I'm going to tell you something right now. When a church gets sideways, gets out of the Scripture, it ought to go somewhere where the Word of God's being preached. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" The Bible said, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." We're talking about a group of people, beloved. Listen, they made outside the outside of the cup clean, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. They were concentrating more on clean hands than a clean heart. I want you to know this morning, it'd be better to die with COVID and have a clean heart than to wash your hands every day and die with a dirty heart. It's never been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, beloved, their vain tradition. He answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? They honor not their father or mother." He shall be free. Thus he made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there are some things in tradition that are good, but there are some things that are vain. I'm talking about vain tradition. Amen. And beloved, listen, they were unwilling to break. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands, laying aside the commandment of God? Ye hold the tradition of men. He said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Oh, listen to me, beloved. Listen, what the Word of God says about everything is what matters. But we're living in a world where people would rather hang on to their tradition than, beloved, change and line up with what thus saith the Word of God. Oh, beloved, listen, it wasn't just the Jews that's hanging on to that vain tradition. It's going on today, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition that you have delivered, and many such things alike. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Here's one I like. I'm going to move on after this one. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, beloved, there's only one thing that'll deliver us from that vain tradition, and that's the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Keep us from following a man and follow the Lord. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, they were unwilling. That's why their hearts are failing them for fear. Their hearts are failing them for fear. Number two, they were unaware. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look in verse 34. The Bible said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. Listen to me, beloved. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice today, and you don't know that Jesus is coming soon, where have you been? If you're not prepared for the coming of the Lord, beloved, I'm telling you, listen to me. They were unaware. You say, Pastor, what do you mean unaware? Two things quickly. Oh, they were unaware of Jesus. Number one, they were unaware of his coming. The Bible said he came unto his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They were unaware of his compassion. Can you imagine Jesus, just for a moment, healing somebody and somebody picking at him because he done it on the wrong day? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Read your Bible. They'd get upset with him because he healed on the Sabbath day. And he had to tell them, beloved, listen, that the Sabbath was, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. They didn't understand how much he loved them. They didn't understand how much he desired to help them. Beloved, they were unaware of his coming. They were unaware of his compassion. They were unaware of his calling. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Pharisee, he goes into the temple. He prayed thus. I like these two words because it's true with himself. When you pray like this, God ain't listening. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not as other men are. But I fast twice in the week. And I pay tithes of all that I possess. I'm not even as this publican. You pray like that, you're praying with yourself. God ain't listening. And there was a publican that would not so much as even turn his eyes towards heaven. But he said, God, he smote upon his breast, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want you to know, beloved, they were unaware that Jesus came and Jesus was calling. I wonder how many are sitting in churches just like this today and are unaware that God is still calling not the righteous, but sinners. Amen. To repentance. Sinners to repentance. They were unaware. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Look with me, if you will, at Acts chapter 17 for just a moment. Acts chapter 17. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, you forgive my voice. This is the first time I've preached since I've had this mess. Praise God, with His help and grace, it won't be the last time. Amen. You look past my voice and you hear God speaking this morning. There's a world full of people that are fearful. Their hearts are failing them for fear. Look what the Bible said in Acts chapter 17, verse number 30. I love it. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture for the times. I'll find it in just a moment. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Listen, this is in the first century. And God's still the same. He's still commanding all men. You say, people, preacher, they just don't know. God's not winking at the ignorance. He's still commanding all men everywhere to repent. Because He hath appointed a day, listen, in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. Beloved, when Paul preached the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Some said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. You say, Pastor, why do you keep preaching? Because howbeit some will believe and trust Jesus as their Savior. Unaware. The Word of God said, look at chapter 20 and verse number, chapter 20 and verse number 47. I'll move on to the last thing in the message. They were unwilling. They were unaware. Look at verse 47. Which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive. Somebody tell me those last two words. Let me tell you something right now. There are degrees of punishment in hell. Men are going to be judged according to their works. Now, I want to tell you this. I do not want, nor will I ever experience, because of the blood of the Lamb, I do not want the best that hell has to offer. Let me give you this. When people have heard the truth, these people walked up and down the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee and Capernaum. These people walked up and down the road with Jesus. And you know what He said? Look out. You're unwilling. You're unaware. Greater damnation. He said in another place, if Tyre and Sodom, Sidon had heard the preaching that you've heard, they would have repented. Amen. All over our land today, there's people going in and out of fundamental churches. That's just a word that means Bible-believing. Going in and out of Bible-believing churches. Bible-believing churches. And their heart has never changed. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, listen to me. God said there's coming a day men's hearts will fail them for fear. They got the bumper stickers. They put them on the back window of the car. Some put them in great big letters, no fear. Let me remind you of something. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Men's hearts. God said in Proverbs chapter number 1, I will mock when their fear cometh. I will laugh at their calamity. You say, Pastor, I just can't picture God like that. That's one of our problems in this generation. We've painted the good side, and we've not shown the other side. He is a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace, but He's a God of wrath. He's a God that's holy. They were unwilling. They were unaware. Number 3, and I'm done. They were unworthy. You say, Pastor, Where did you get that in the text? Look with me, if you will, please, at verse number 36. The Bible said, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." You say, now, Pastor, you said they're unworthy. That's exactly right. Well, Pastor, I've heard Christian people say they were unworthy. And it just all depends right there on how you look at it. If you're looking at it, Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." If you're looking at me, I'm unworthy. Brother Craig mentioned that a while ago. Don't look at me. We want to point people to him. But watch this. Listen to the song. Listen to the verse. "When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy. When God looks at me, he sees me just like he sees his Son." So in my own right, yes, I'm unworthy. But when God saved my never-dying soul, he said, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." God, in the blood of Jesus, makes us worthy of heaven. You say, "Pastor, you're bragging." I am. On my Heavenly Father. On the Holy Ghost that convicted me. On the blood of Jesus that cleansed me. I am bragging. I am boasting, not in myself, on my Lord. Oh, beloved friend, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I want you to think about this, especially you that teach and preach God's Word. John said this, "I'm not even unworthy to unloose his shoe latches." John's looking at John now. I tremble to think about handling this book. In our own right, we are unworthy. But thank God he made us worthy through the blood of the Lamb. He called us to teach and to preach the Word of God. They were unworthy. Look with me, if you will, at a passage in the book of Acts again in chapter 13 and verse number 46. Look what the Word of God said there. The Bible said here, "And Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold and said it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, seeing that you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Beloved friend, why in this text in Luke chapter 21 are men's hearts failing them for fear? They're unwilling. They're unaware. And beloved, they're unworthy to take up the holy things of God. I believe with all of my heart, when that centurion, he had a servant that was sick. He sent for Jesus. And Jesus said, "I'll go." Of course, they were bragging on this man. They said, "He's worthy that's asked this thing. He's built us a synagogue." That amazes me, even though he was a Gentile. He built him a synagogue. Think about this. Jesus said he would come. And he sent word. He said, "You go tell Jesus, I'm a man of authority. There's men under me. I tell him to do this and he does it." I'm paraphrasing now. Tell him to do that and he does it. "I'm not worthy. But you should come under my roof.
Brother Crystal, what would God do for our church if our hearts were so humble when we come through these doors? We said, God, in our own right, we're not worthy that you'd meet with us, but meet with us. He said, speak the word only, then my servant shall be healed. Jesus said this. He said, I've not found so great faith. No, not in all Israel. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, listen. There's two hearts pictured in this chapter. The heart we've looked at this morning is a heart that's failing with fear. I thought about, what if that was my boy? Brother Randall over there behind those lights. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Some of you men, you veterans in our church, you've made statements to me, and not only you, but other veterans along the way, that you believe with all of your heart it was Mama's prayers. It was the church back here that was on their knees that brought you back out of those messes overseas. I'm going to tell you something right now. If that was my boy over there, I'm not talking to men this way. I'm talking to the one that intercedes for me every day. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. If a terrorist threatened your life this afternoon, would your heart be failing with fear? Or could you stand with confidence and say, well, I may be fixing to breathe my last breath, but my next one will be in glory. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I really believe God's cutting the tree down. I don't know how, I don't know when exactly, but it's time. We don't need to ask God to humble us. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Is your heart failing for fear? Tonight, we'll look at a faithful heart that's settled. This morning, we're looking at a fearful heart that's shaken. The events of this world are shaking people to the core. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, God's people. So, Pastor, I don't have a son or daughter. I don't have a brother or sister. I don't have a mom or dad over there. How selfish are we if we're not concerned just because it doesn't touch us personally? It's touching us nationally. You can believe that. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for enough strength to get through the message. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you would help us, our Lord, in these days. God, I think about the truth. All the truth, 27 years, many, many times I heard the truth before I was ever saved. God, I pray the truth will set someone free this morning. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God, I pray this morning that we would remember our country in prayer, remember our neighbors in prayer, remember our loved ones in prayer, especially remember our lost people in prayer.